Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Great discussions these last couple of weeks about from the book of Acts, chapter 9, which is Saul's conversion. And we introduced last week Ananias and his testimony. And Tara left us with a great question just about obedience, which is the hardest thing to do without the power of the Holy Spirit.
It is extremely hard without the power of the Holy Spirit. But Ananias was listening. He was listening. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the key. And when I was summing up, I was looking at the different aspects of Saul and Ananias. I thought, you know, Saul was coming in bent on destruction, and he was given the voice of God, and he was able to see God. Whereas Ananias, he was also given a vision, but it doesn't tell us it was a blinding bright light. It just says in a vision, he hears Ananias. It's so gentle because he is walking in obedience. The Lord does not have to do this, you know, dramatic thing over him. It's a very simple communication that's a nudging in his heart. And he begins to tell God, I don't want to go. I know who this man is. He's a murderer. Everybody knows that he has permission from the authorities to do whatever he wants with the Christians. And then God says something very profound to him. And I want you to read this passage for us. Actually, Sabrina, it would be, it's kind of short. Go read verse chapter 9, 10, and then I want you to read all the way through verse 16.
Okay. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and people, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I think it's interesting that the Lord wants to show him how he's going to suffer. He's made believers suffer, and here the Lord is going to show him how he suffers. In fact, he's bent on destruction, and he's going to be shown how he's going to have to deal with that. That is such an amazing thought to me. Right here, as we're looking at Ananias, one of the things that humbles me about Ananias is that this chapter is all about being available. Being available to see God, to hear God, and then to do what God says, okay? Mm-hmm. And in Ananias, when he hears the voice of God, in order for him to be authentic in his walk, there were a couple of things that he did that we can learn from him, that this is where we really want to be. You know, a lot of times people will complain, especially somebody who's grown up in the church, you know, I really have a hard time when they give these testimonies in church that show this really dramatic thing because I grew up in the church. I really don't have anything dramatic. It's just kind of at some point Christ became real and I have believed on him and I've just been walking in obedience. I didn't have this dramatic testimony. And my answer to them was like, praise the Lord.
I know.
Because we have the examples here that God meets both people. Mm-hmm. He meets those on Damascus, and he meets those who are just doing his business. And the key on both of them, Saul had to listen. Ananias had to listen. Mm-hmm. Saul, he had to ask, who are you, Lord? Ananias knew who the Lord was. Both, from that point forward, had a choice to make, to walk in obedience to what they were told. And they both did. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if we're in the dramatic or if we're in the gentle nudging. Either way, they both required the same things from us in response. And sometimes I think we think, well, oh, it'd be easier if you're in the dramatic or it'd be easier if you're in the gentle. And my answer to you is no. Listening And obeying in obedience is just as difficult, regardless of whether you're in a dramatic life situation or if you're in a just a normal situation.
Because obedience is obedience. Are you going to choose to listen to your shepherd?
Completely.
Because that communication, we can hear his voice. We know it's him. And it's amazing to see that even though people would look at Ananias's conversion and say, well, that wasn't as dramatic. Mm-hmm. But it's so beautiful that God uses a shepherd like Ananias, one of his sheep, to be a part of this amazing conversion.
It's huge.
You know, like this servant that loves him and to go and, you know, to take a step of faith. And I know he was blessed. Ananias was like, everything that the Lord said is everything that's happened. And look at this man now. I mean, he got to see a miracle.
He was a part of the miracle.
Yes, that's amazing to me.
I love that. I want to be the person that's there for somebody, don't you?
I want to see that person that said there's no way they can come to know the Lord, that you don't know that you don't know where they've been.
Yeah. I also want to be the person that invests in somebody when you can tell that there's something big coming. And I can't say names or anything, but I have a situation where through subbing, I just have had opportunity to really get to know some seniors very well. Mm-hmm. I've had to sub a lot in the last week and been able to ask a lot of questions so that I could be interested instead of interesting, Sabrina. Really working that one. And that's last month. If you don't understand, go back and listen to the podcast. Anyhow, there's one person in particular that this person, as he was sharing his vision for what he feels God's laying out for him, in my heart, I feel like somehow I need to invest in this. Like, I want ownership in this future. And so I've already contacted somebody I know that's in the military, trying to get some connections happening for this young man and stuff, just because, you know, I can just see the fingerprint of God is at work. And, I told my husband, like, I want a part of that, you know, because when you see something where you can tell that God's going to do a work, it's like, how can you not want to be a part of it?
Yeah, partner with God.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I'm so excited. And so
that's awesome.
I ordered a special waterproof Bible and had this person's name monogrammed on it. So when he graduates, our family's going to give it to him. You know,
that's awesome.
Because God's calling him to where he'll be out where it could get wet or ruined or whatever. And just owning somebody, you know, and saying, you know, hey, we believe in you. You can do this.
Watering that seed
is so good. And Ananias did that. And what blows my mind, and this brings tears to my eyes, because God calls us to a commitment, not to comfort. And I think about Saul. Now think about Ananias. Both of them had to get out of their comfort zone. And it took Saul getting blinded in a city he didn't know with men that had to lead and guide him when he had been their Lord and authority and that they were following him as servants, suddenly had to lead him to get him into that city. Ananias had to face a fear and get out of his comfort zone of fear of a man that could take his fleshly body to obey his father who's over his spirit. And oftentimes, I think in our Christendom, we want it to be comfortable. We want it to be safe. Well, my God, I heard this phrase said to me just this week. Well, my God would never ask me to do that because da-da-da-da-da. And I was teaching at the Open Door Mission, and I shared with the men and the women there, I told them, I said, what does that speak to you if you hear somebody say, well, my God? And it was instant. The whole group was like, that's an idol. The whole group got it. Because any time that we begin to create where we're saying, you know, as in it's like, well, my God wouldn't, and it's not a scriptural base. It's one thing to say, well, my God, you know, lifts up the weak. You know, we know that's true. But when we say, well, my God wouldn't expect me to do da-da-da-da-da, well, you know, actually suffering's a big part of Christendom. You know, Jesus says, you're going to suffer. I suffered. And then the Father told Ananias, I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to suffer for me. And we want it to be an easy Christianity. We want it to be an easy thing so that if I pray and I say, God, I want this, 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 or this to happen, then we want it to happen so it's easy. Or for myself and praying for my children and trying to pray them through mm-hmm. circumstances, my prayers are always on the easy solution because I'm their mom.
Yeah.
And one day God convicted me that if I always got what I wanted in praying the easy solution, my children would not be people of character. Because people who have life easy do not grow, versus those who struggle, they're the ones that grow. And so we have to remember that God does not call us to comfort. He calls us to commitment.
That's good.
It's hard.
It's so hard because comfort, that's what everybody wants in this world. And that's exactly why it's not right.
I know.
So that's amazing. That whole like teaching right there, you know, for people that are out there that are just comfortable in watching TV every night and never desiring just to go outside and pick up trash. I mean, little things that God can start moving in your heart that people will start noticing. Not everyone's called to go to Africa.
Right.
You know, but we have Africans on our street, in our neighborhood, you know. And so it's just, once again, just asking the Lord, you know, what is it for me? What do you want for me to do? Here I am.
Know. You know, I'm going to, Todd and Denise Doxson are the pastor and wife at Sabrina's church. And one of the things that I've heard through the body of Christ, through people in your church talking about what they do in feeding y'all, is an encouragement to own your neighborhood, to mm-hmm. own your block. And I think it was through our friend Beth that I've heard, you know, to own a block, to own that block, mm-hmm. to live there and own your block. And I thought, well, that's what Sabrina does. You know, you own your block.
You Jesus know what I mean? Owns it. I'm just the...
But do you absolutely. For as the servant of
yes,
the Lord.
Yes,
if you were yes. living on the street called straight, you would own it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is one of the most profound thoughts
mm.
because it really brings you out of
comfort. You know,
mm-hmm. And it requires a commitment, an investment,
yes.
a connection.
And rejection.
Yes. And a whole host of things of facing our fears
yes.
like Ananias had to. So the challenge is availability. Right now, our family's praying through getting another foreign exchange student and availability. And been really praying about, you know, one, we need to make sure it's God's timing and will, but how easy it would be for excuses of our comfort to be the reason not to, without listening to what God's heart is. It's a very easy thing to do. And so what is something in your life, just for someone who's listening, what is something in your life right now that you, one, need to get outside of your comfort zone to, or own your block, as our friends at Calvary say, you know, really taking that ownership and getting to where you get outside of your safety. And I know in a lot of the circles that I work with, a lot of times the decisions that are being made are being made with the intent that they're made because this is what God revealed. But if we really went in and analyzed why they were made, I think we would find that they're more fear-based than they are God-centered. You know, as
absolutely.
To why people make choices that people make. And that's into my own self speaking from my mm-hmm. own self experience. So Ananias was available. He listened to God. And the thing that blows my mind, now let's take this and see. When he talked with God, I really want you to hear this, because a lot of times, was it the other day, I had one of the guys at the mission didn't want to pray. I wasn't forcing anybody to pray, but something was said. And it's like, it's just a conversation. Forget the idea that you have to have a right or wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And Ananias's prayer, his conversation mm-hmm. with God, is the perfect example. Mm-hmm. He says, he just says it out openly. I heard of him, God.
Mm-hmm.
He just talks. He says,
reports.
He comes to do harm. And he comes with authority. He doesn't even really make a request of God. He just tells God what his thoughts are and just lets him know.
It's not eloquent. It's just him.
It's real. It is so real.
Yes.
And I think what happens is that we think that it has to be done a certain way, said a certain way, in a formula, a pattern. I might do it wrong. Could I mess it up or something? And yet here we have an example of a very godly man, and it's just a conversation. It doesn't have to have all the things that we think it has to have. In fact, I think it's better when it's more real. The other thing is that he just obeyed. His obedience was so swift.
Yeah, there wasn't a pause in scripture.
Yeah, I mean, he has this conversation and God says, go, mm-hmm. go. And Ananias got up and he went. And he just left and did exactly what it was. And so God then begins to say, and he goes, I want you to go because this man is chosen. Mm-hmm. He has been chosen by me to carry my name to the Gentiles. This is huge.
Huge.
A religious leader that we read all the things, you know, he's the Jewish culture, he has the mindset, he's the teacher, he has the trade. He knows everything that could possibly be made known. For the Jewish culture, it makes sense that Saul would have been the one to go there. But God said, no, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles and to their kings and to their people to communicate my message. Versus, remember, we said this a month ago, Peter, however, on the other hand, an uneducated fisherman, is who God chose to send to the religious leaders. He uses that which confounds us.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. In Corinthians.
He does, doesn't he? And so he's chosen to go so that, and then he's going to reveal to him he's going to have to suffer much. So Ananias has this big responsibility, and he walks forth in obedience without question. Our question we need to ask ourselves is, do I do that? When the gentle nudge comes, or when the goading comes, because it could be like with Saul, am I going to say, yes, Lord, what must I do? And then just simply talk with God if there's concerns, and then just move forward. That's the challenge for us today. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we would love to hear from you. You can contact us at tararye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or at theopendoormission.org. I can hardly talk. God bless.